Welcome to the Housetop Podcast, the teaching arm of Oikos Ministries. Jesus said, "Whatever I tell you in the dark, speak in the light, and what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops." Join our host, Terrell Hebert, as he teaches God's Word.
Well, good evening. Welcome back to our Facebook Live broadcast of Oikos Ministries. We're probably a couple of minutes ahead of schedule, but we're going to start anyway. And it seems as though we're going through right now our book called The Creation of Marriage. And we'll be on chapter 3 tonight. We're dealing with created in God's image. And so the image of God is the name of the chapter. But what I want to tell you before we get into it tonight, each week after we get through, we boost these posts, and we have a pretty large audience out there that gets to see them. And last week, Facebook's just said that our message violates their community standards. So look, we're on a hot topic with the idea of marriage. Marriage is being attacked from every corner of the globe right now. And the fact is, marriage belongs to God. I'm going to tell you, this is God's invention. This is God's creation. And the idea that in the state or the media or others would try to pervert what God has ordained, it just really gets all over me. I'm very forceful about this issue. And so I think this has created, I guess it gets the ear of the fact checkers now that they want to pervert marriage into other things that God didn't intend it to be. And it's creating a mess out there. So what I'm going to ask our viewing audience is this. If you would, when you hear this message, if you would, just go to Oikos Ministries. After this is over with, we'll make it shareable, and just share this link with your Facebook page, and hopefully we'll get some traction out there. Hopefully Facebook won't squelch us down this week as well, but we'll keep swinging for the fences and try to do some good out there and heal some marriages and maybe get some people married even that ought to be married, and maybe see a move of God right there in your own home. So with that all said, let's just get started tonight. We're talking about the image of God. Last week we dealt with let there be light. You know, remember, we're going back to the beginning of creation. As I started this whole lesson, I believe that we're in a church age now that the emphasis about Jesus is on the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. And that little phrase, the beginning of the creation of God, is used in one place in particular in the book of Matthew 19 and Mark chapter 10. And it talks about marriage. And it talks about from the beginning of the creation, he was bringing up divorce. He said, from the beginning of the creation, it was not so. And so literally, God just quickened this in my spirit in 2012. And I wrote this book called The Creation of Marriage. And it's all the issues pertaining to marriage from the beginning of the creation, in particular from Genesis chapters 1 through 3. And so last week we dealt with let there be light. And we were showing how in the Christian life that walking in the light, literally we showed that the light of God, when he said let there be light, we made a big case last week for the idea that when he said let there be light, it was the revelation of the life of Jesus Christ. And when he said, let there be light, because it was preceded the sun, the moon, the stars, all that, let there be light. The light of this world in him was life, and his life is the light of men. And I believe that this was what illuminates the world. I believe the entire universe is founded on the revelation that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe the whole universe revolves around this truth. And a matter of fact, this is the whole reason we exist, and that all men should come to Christ and yield to the Creator. Look, the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He has set the world on them. We spend all of our time dealing with worldly issues. whenever the real issue is the foundations, that the pillars of the earth belong to God. God has spiritual foundations that holds this terrestrial ball called earth right out here and suspended in the middle of nothing. God holds it up by the word of His power. He created it by His word. He sustains it by His word. And if you and I can understand that and get that in our spirit, who remember our Creator, and that when He said, let there be light, it's the life of Christ. The Lamb was slain from the very foundation of the world. And the first thing He did was reveal to all the host of heaven that what He would do is that when man sinned, He would send His Son in the fullness of time, and He would redeem mankind. And this was the plan of God from the ages. And we made our case for that last week. We won't go back all through that. But I want to tell you, when He said, let there be light, is the revealing of the life of Jesus Christ. Now, we understand, if we fast forward into Christianity, that to walk in the light is to walk in fellowship with one another. If we say we love God, the only proof we have that we love God is how we treat each other. And it's really difficult for people in our generation to walk in the light, in a transparency where people can actually see how you live. Christian folks all the time have secluded lives, hidden lives. They just are not comfortable with people seeing how you live. And I will tell you, this is the key, I believe the key to walking in a successful marriage, is that when you get into a communion or a relationship with your spouse, when you get married, you're going to walk in the light. You're going to see how you really live. There's no faking it. There's no, you can't explain that away. You can't, I mean, you got to deal with it. And I think people are very uncomfortable with that, and we need to learn that principle. You know, when we're children, little innocent children, we're all afraid of the dark. But when we become adults, this is interesting to me, we become sinful adults and we become afraid of the light. We don't want people to see how we truly live. Could you imagine Zacchaeus when Jesus looked up there and said, hey man, come on down, I'm coming to your house today. Uh-oh, surprise visit by the preacher of all preachers, Jesus. Can you imagine what he was going through his mind? Oop, what's undone at my house? Folks, we need to learn to walk in the light. So tonight, let's get into the second and third and fourth days of creation, all the way through to the creation of man. In the second day, God made the heavens, or the sky, the atmosphere. You know, He let a firmament. He took the waters and He expanded them. Pretty amazing thing. Too marvelous for me. He said, let there be light. The next thing, the earth was covered with water, and He made an expansion of the waters, and it's called this atmosphere that's all around us. We would call it the first heaven, if you wanted to get technical and theological terms. It's as far as our atmosphere can look at. And when you go past that, you would get into the second heaven, where I believe the realm of the demonic is, and Satan, where he fell, and then the third heaven where God sits. And so when we see this idea of this first expanse, this was created on the second day. On the third day, it was a little, seems busier. It must be a pretty big deal to separate that water deal. But on the third day, He separated the waters from dry land, and He made the seas, and He made the earth. And then He commanded the grass to grow. And He said, and then He commanded that all seeds would be self-regenerating, that the seed was in itself. The fruit trees would have fruit, and it would bear fruit containing a seed that would bear fruit after its own kind. And this is a wonderful creation principle, and I would love to get into that, but I won't tonight. Anyway, and then day four, you remember we talked about this, that let there be light preceded the creation of the sun and the moon. On day four, He made the sun, the moon, the stars, and all that glory in the heavenlies. And as a matter of fact, I got a psalm written here in Psalm 19. It says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. It's a powerful thing that out in the heavens, and if you really look at it, I mean, there's a universal language spoken in the heavens, that there is something so fantastic that our Creator has made this and is sustaining this. And I tell you, it's universal. When you look up and you have to be amazed when you look at I feel sorry for city folks. We live out in the country now. When we look up, we see full blown stars. You come into the city and all you see is lights, artificial lights and smoke and whatever, smog. Y'all need to move to country and see that pretty stuff, all right? I was saying, on the fifth day, God commanded the seas to be filled with all forms of aquatic life. And he said, let the waters bring forth. And it even made, it seems, this is a bizarre thing. It said, let the waters bring forth. He made the fish of the sea. And he said, let the waters bring forth. And it made the fowls of the air. It's a peculiar verse there. He made all that on the fifth day. And he told them to be fruitful and to multiply. On the sixth day, this is the busiest day yet, and we're getting to our point. On the sixth day, God created all manner of livestock and animals, and they were to reproduce after their own kind. Now, that seemed to be the early part of the work, because it seemed he had a whole lot to do on the sixth day. And then the last great act of creation, he said, let us make a man in our image. He said, let us make a man in our image. This is what's going to be the subject of our study tonight. We're going to talk about God made man in his own. He did not do that with any other beast of this earth. Man is the pinnacle of God's creation. And I want you to understand that. This has been weirdly taken now. And I have a reverence for life. I do. I tend animals. I tend livestock. We have cows and chickens and goats and ducks and dogs and cats, and I take care of my animals, but I want to tell you that they are not people. We have elevated dogs now to the point of humans, and they're not. They're not the same status. And I hear people say stuff like that all the time. You know, I love my dog better than I like people. That's a problem. I mean, it's really a terrible confession. If you like a dog is man's best friend. No, he's not. He's a dog. They're never spoken of well in Scripture. It's like, really, they're kind of nasty if you think about it. All right, so stay with me. Don't get mad at me. I mean, I know you love your puppy, but listen, let's just be real. You better understand that people are the pinnacle of God's creation. And I want to tell you something else. The devil hates the image of God. He literally loathes it. And he will do anything he can to mar God's image. This is why he hates you so bad. He hates me so bad. It's nothing personal, folks. He hates God. And we stand in the image of God. And so now that wrath is turned toward us. God has expelled him from the heaven itself. And now he's trying to do everything he can to stop us from reflecting the image and glory of God. Now, this is where our subject goes tonight. So let me read the whole passage. In Genesis 1, verses 26 through 31, it says, then God said, let us make a man in our image. Now, let me just say quickly, let us make a man in our image. Now, to me, this is a revelation or a little insight, if you would, on how the Godhead communicates within itself. I don't understand all this. Let me just say that right up front. I don't understand the great mystery of the Godhead. I know that there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, that triune nature of God. I believe that. It's revealed from the very first three verses of Scripture. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, oh, there you go, Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters, and God said, that's the Word of God. We see that confirmed in the New Testament. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And so we see that the Father, the Son, the Spirit are revealed in the first three verses of the Bible. And so I have to believe that God in three persons is a real thing. And I believe that even in man, we're a triune nature, spirit, soul, and body. And so I don't have a difficulty understanding that. And I understand that there's a conversation going on in our own minds at times. Is that right? And we're always, that's not craziness. As a matter of fact, it'd be crazy if there wasn't a conversation going. The spirit and soul communicate. And then there's other parties that can get involved. I believe that the Spirit of God speaks in me and is invited into my communion. I've had the devil speak to me. Have you? And he's not invited to my conversations. And as soon as I figure him out, I expel him. Don't want him in my communion. And so when we see this, he said, let us make a man in our image. That's the Godhead went to work according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seeds, to you shall it be for food. Also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given thee every green herb for food. And it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. So that's our sixth day of creation. And I want you to notice that he said, let us make a man in our image. Nothing else was given that status. I believe that man as the, and I'm saying that in generic form, man and women, men and women are the pinnacle of God's creation. There is nothing greater. Now, if you'll notice, there's four major things in this passage that I will, that are, each one of them are going to chapter in this book. So let me just point them out. First, we are created in his image. That'll be our subject tonight. Second, we were given dominion over all creation. This is a powerful thing. We'll get back to that. Third, we are created male and female. Boy, that's a hot topic right now. Fourth and finally, we are commanded to be fruitful and multiply. Another hot topic right now. So those four subjects, because they have so much to do and so much effect on our homes, how we live. Remember, when he told us to go back to the beginning of the creation, that the revelation of Christ in this generation should be, we should emphasize the beginning of the creation. And I think it's very comforting to me. The Bible says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth. There's something very comforting, very stabilizing when we begin to confess our Creator. The more I've been doing that, the more bold and more powerful I feel inside. When I begin to say, Lord, you are God. You made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that's in them. That something about that stabilizes me. It settles me. It lets me know that no matter what's going on in the world, the earth was created by God. He's the pillars of the earth belong to God, and the world gets to into. You know, I was thinking this thought today. Think about it. Suppose you walked up, you were in this big wilderness, and you found this pristine, beautiful place, and said, "There's no one else here. I think I'll build a home here." And you built a home, and you began to multiply, and you had houses and barns and cattle and children, and they began to multiply, and it became a city. And one day, the owner of the place shows up and said, what are y'all doing on my property? See, I believe this is what the end of the world is going to look like. What have you done trespassing on my creation, doing things that I have never intended that you do? We're all infatuated with the world. God made the earth. And I believe he's going to remind us of this real soon. I believe he's reminding us now. I don't know about y'all, it's 100 degrees outside today. It's hot. But I believe we're going to see some terrible things as the Creator flexes his muscle in the creation. But we have been given dominion over the earth. That's a powerful situation. And we need to look that through. Now, let's get back to the image of God. We're created in God's image. Nothing else like that. The word for image there, selim, and it's an unusual word that now he's saying man is created in the image of God. Now, here's the deal. This Selim is literally Selim. I'm not Hebrew and I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but I've been studying Hebrew words for about 40 years. So I don't know how to say them. I'm Cajun. You know what? If I didn't say it right, forgive me. But that's what the word is. And it literally means like an idol or a graven image even. And so here's the weird part of that is that we're commanded. We're literally in the second commandment of the 10. He said, you shall make no graven image, none. We're not to put a tool on something and try to make an image of God. And I believe that the reason being is that Jesus Christ is the exact Xerox copy of God. He is the express image of God, according to Hebrews chapter 1. And so the image of God, now I want you to see this. Man is created in God's image. Now you'll notice we're innocent. In the early days of our creation, we were innocent. We had no sin. There was nothing. We walked with God. There was no problem. There was no distinction. There was nothing to make our conscience void. There was no sin in the earth. There was just man fellowshipping with the Creator. What a beautiful picture. Oh, to have it back. And I believe that's what eternity will be. We'll have that back. And so here is man in this pristine image. This is why in the early days, that we were intended to live forever, folks. There was no reason we should die. It was never even mentioned. That's why men in the early days would live for 700, 800, 900 years. And people say, that didn't happen. Well, you believe whatever you want to. I believe the Word of God, and you just help yourself. You believe some other, that you came out of a pterodactyl, or you're a monkey baby or a tadpole. I don't care what you believe. The fact is, God said that men lived 900 years. Methuselah, I think, lived 960 something years or something like that. 969. Thank you. And so here, he was old. But the fact is, when we see they were intended to live forever. But something happened. You see, man was created in God's image. And what would happen is we stand before God, we would reflect the glory of God. This is what Lucifer did before he was booted out of heaven. Do you know that? He literally stood and reflected the glory of God. The problem with Lucifer, it wasn't enough for him to stand there in God's presence and reflect his glory. He wanted God's position. And this is what's a problem. You know, when you look in a mirror, you are looking at an image of yourself. It is not you. It is the image of you. And we like to get those wavy mirrors. Make ourselves look however we want ourselves. Oh, yeah, I'm looking good now. Huh? Just a little adjustment there. Oh, that's a little too heavy. So get a wavy mirror and you can look good all the time. The image of God, though, when we stand reflecting the image and the glory of God, I have a friend out in Ville Platte who calls us mirrored ones. I think it's a little strange terminology, but it's true. We are literally, if we're in the new birth, we're mirroring God. We reflect Him, and everything from God reflects out of us because it touches it. We're made to do that. We're designed to do that. We're literally the only creature that walks upright. Anthropos, I think if I remember right, it means we're man with his face turned upward. We're designed to worship. Excuse me. So here we are creating in God's image. Now, I'm going to, in Genesis chapter 1, we get the macro view of creation. Chapter 2, it comes back into a micro view. We'll get into a lot of this as we go on and moving forward. But in chapter 2, it begins to give us the fill in the blanks kind of thing. So God puts man in this paradise, if you would. And he said, of every tree of this garden, you can eat everything here, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that's in the midst of the garden, you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat, you shall surely die. There's the first mention of death in the Bible. Basically, man was given license to enjoy everything God had created. Walk with the Creator and enjoy all of creation. One command. I call it the law of the garden. I don't know if anybody else calls it the law of the garden. I don't think there's any other law, to be honest with you. It's basically, if you begin to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, it's going to kill you. So Satan heard this. Lucifer heard this. The serpent visits Eve. Now I want you to notice the first sin was, was committed inside the confines of the marriage covenant. I want you to notice that. I apologize, folks. Anyway, so God had told the man, don't eat of the tree. If you eat, you shall surely die. Well, the serpent appears to the woman. And he said, has God surely said? Isn't that amazing? He didn't just say, man, eat, look how good this fruit. No, he just said, has God surely said? See, I believe the number one modus operandi of the devil is to make you doubt what God actually said. You need to understand that. He catches us in a vulnerable place when we're alone. Mm-hmm. And he whispers, did God really say you'll die? You're not going to die. Then he really perverts it. He knows that in the day you eat, your eyes are going to be open and you're going to be like gods. You see, and that's what folks really want. Same thing Lucifer wanted. Lucifer stood before God in heaven. God booted him out for this same thing. Five times he said, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Literally, he said, I will be like the Most High. He literally wanted to take God's place. And that's the exact sin. I just finished a whole series on warfare prayer from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And I'm telling you right now, the real issue in our generation right now is that the Antichrist spirit, this Antichrist agenda that's marching across the globe right now as we speak, the revealing of Antichrist, the closer we get to the revealing of Jesus Christ, the more the Antichrist wants to show his hand. And so we're waiting the coming of the Christ while Antichrist is advancing, and everybody's all concerned about Antichrist and Mark of the Beast. And all. Look, man, get your eyes on Christ, get the mark of God in your forehead, and you ain't got to worry about Antichrist. All right, we have the Christ. Stick with that. Forsake the world. Quit the world and you're going to be all right. You're going to be just fine. Stay with Jesus. But he said, in the day that you eat, you're going to surely die. Look, right now, Antichrist does this. He opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And that's what I showed out in our warfare prayer. We are the temple of God. Our hearts are the temple of the Most High God. God wants to live inside of you. And right now, the onslaught issues of the Antichrist spirit is to come sit in the heart of man and exalt himself above all that is called God or worship. This is humanism, where we exalt the creature above the Creator and we begin to live like we are gods. This is what's happening right now. And it's bred a whole generation, here's the word, of narcissists. 2 Timothy 3 reminds us of that. And it said, in the last days, perilous time will come. Men will be lovers of their own selves. This is a perverted self-love that is literally totally like the Greek god Narcissus would just stare in his reflection in the mirror all day and said, mirror, mirror on the wall, ain't I the prettiest of all? And just stare at you, look at me. 20, I've posted 20 selfies today. It's not enough. It's never enough selfies. Take me another selfie. Selfie. That's where we are. Men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. All we want is self-fulfillment, self-grandizement, self. God said, let us make a man in our image to reflect the glory of God. So he said, you can have anything you want in this garden. Help yourself. Even the tree of life was there. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the day you eat from that, you shall surely die. Here comes Lucifer. You shall not surely die. Did God really say that? You won't die. Your eyes are just going to be open. You're going to know that you're going to be able to see, and you will be like God. Now, in a sense, he wasn't lying in one part. The fact is, God created man. Think this through now. Stay with my logic. God created man totally innocent, sinless. You understand it? He was going to live forever. No problem. We were going to live forever. And we could choose to do what we wanted. We had a will. But we were innocent. We had no conscience of good and evil. But God said, in the day that you eat, you shall surely die. So man ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And let me just say that it's no accident that the Apple computer has a bite bitten out. That is the tree of knowledge. That's no accident. This is all design. This is demonic design. We are living in the age of the tree of the knowledge. We're all toting a tree of knowledge right in our hand all the time. All we stare at is the knowledge of good and evil all the time. That's all we eat of. And it's killing us, but we agree with Lucifer. Oh, we're not going to really die. We don't even care about the tree of life. This tree of knowledge is so fun. But it's killing us. And so, man has a will. He has innocence, no conscience of good and evil. And he's going to live forever. And the day that he eats, whatever he ate, God immediately caused death to enter his spirit. Darkness came over the spirit of man. And all that was left is his soul and his physical body. He became a two-dimensional being, not three, two. It brought him down to the standard of a dog or a cow or a beast. Two-dimensional. All the beasts have souls. I have no problem with that. It says it all. He's got the breath of life in them. And so when we look at the idea that man without a spirit, when your spirit dies inside of you, you're left with only a mind, emotion, a will, and a living body that's literally on a ticking clock waiting for the physical death and a certain rendezvous with eternal judgment. That death is literally an eternal damnation. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is no joke, folks. This is a reality of it. Here's the big issue. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, he has set the world in the heart of man. He has set, literally means the ages, time. He set time and eternity in the hearts of men. It's literally this quandary we're in, that God has subjected an eternal soul inside of a temporary house. And nothing can satisfy it except God himself. We have to touch eternity, or we have to touch the eternals, and the only access we have to eternity, hear it carefully, is the eternal blood of Jesus, the eternal word of God, and the eternal Holy Ghost. Oh, get a hold of that and eternity would come. You see, let us make a man in our image, but the tempter came and literally deceived the woman, and she ate, and she gave some to her husband, and he ate. We had the first marriage problem going, eating at the tree of knowledge. Dead inside, living outside, waiting for the physical body to perish. Banished from the presence of God. And the nature and relationship of God changed from that point on. They used to get up and walk with God in the garden in the cool of the day, and now they were banished from that paradise. Oh, they could hear God in vague terms through prophecies, visions, dreams, trances, but it wasn't the same. In the day that you eat, you shall surely die. You see, the devil marred the image of God. Darkness became onto the heart and mind of man. The conscience opened. We knew that we were sinning. Their eyes were open. They knew they were naked. It's amazing where we've come to in our generation. When I was a kid, if you walked in on somebody and they had on just their bra and panty, they would, oh, ho, ho, ho. Now go to a beach. They're naked and not ashamed. I don't understand it. Literally, something has gone so wrong in the head of people. Now, our glory is our shame. We don't even think twice about it. We've really messed up in our thinking. We've normalized things that are not normal. And all we have is the patterns in front of us. But if you go back to the Word of God, it, You say, well, wait, why do we do this? And the Bible says different. Because we've erred. Look, the first judgment from God is a judgment from darkness. It is a darkness comes on the spirit of man. I want you to read. I'm on the top of page 27, Romans chapter 1. You see, I was talking about the image, Selim. It's an idol. Man has become his own God. We always try to make an image. We're bent toward worship. But we've literally reverted to this. We just worship ourselves now. We worship our own opinion. We worship whatever we want to do, our pleasure. We worship whatever. We just make it up as we go. It's all idolatry. It's the age-old sin of idolatry. Now, I want you to see this in Romans chapter 1. He says in verse 21 through 25, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but came futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Look at that. Notice that. Their foolish heart was darkened. I believe this is always the first judgment from God, is to put a darkness on the heart where you just can't see. Okay? Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man. We changed God into a man. Right? We brought him down to our level. And they made birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lusts of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, and exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. I'd love to read the whole chapter to you there, but let's just the switching around where we have exalted the creature above the Creator. This seems to be the natural flow. Once the heart has been darkened through sin, we lose that image. We're no longer reflecting the glory of God at that point. And so all we can do is try to reflect our own glory. Project. We're not reflecting. We're projecting our own glory, trying to make ourselves look good at all times. We try to make everybody think we're wonderful. Think about it. And so everyone's trying to identify themselves or create themselves or create their own persona or their own deal, their own image, if you would. When the most satisfying life available is reflecting the image and glory of our God. Talk about peace. Try to find yourself. Man, I'm trying to lose myself. I don't want Terrell Hebert to ever surface again. Let that dude be gone. Let Jesus live. Shine, Jesus, shine. Stay with it. Stay with it. You see, the image of God is not defined in the physical body of man. The image of God is defined in the triune nature of man. And we have to grasp that concept. So your soul and your spirit, you see, when your spirit's dead inside of you, let me tell you this. If you're dead in your sin, that's what Jesus would say, you're dead in your sins. And he told religious people that. So I don't care if you go to church or not, you can be dead in your sins. The fact is, you know it. There are people who literally, this is just pride, who just try to protect their religious image and would never say they're wrong, but it's just proud, which is another terrible enemy of God. And you try to protect your own position there when all you're doing is damning yourself. You're hurting yourself. See, when we're created in the image of God, to reflect the glory of God. If your spirit is dead, you're twofold at that point. And your spirit, literally your soul is looking for something to attach to that has life in it. Oh, they're playing a sport. Life. Oh, the party. Life. Oh, the alcohol. Life. Dope. Life. Sex. Life. We're looking for something. They're saying, come on, boy, we're living it up over here. And we find those things aren't life. Really, the end of them is death. Hey, man, try this smoke. This is really, oh, man, this is the best. What's amazing? Every dope I did was free the first time. I never paid one time for the first one. After that, get ready, folks. Alcohol. People say, I love beer. I love me some whiskey. Look, did you ever notice your first take of alcohol? If you just actually just said, oh, that's delicious. Your whole body went into a convulsion. Oh, you got to develop a taste for it. Yeah, we could develop a taste for dog poo if you want to, but I mean, good grief, who wants to? Help me now. We're living it up over here. And you wake up the next morning, you're literally the picture of death. Well, we had a great time last night. Well, that was fun, huh? Oh. Yeah, let's go do it again, yeah. Till you find it just one day. If you have the grace of God, this is what happened to me. Like, let's go do this. Look, no. I'm sick of everything's a lie. Everything was a lie. There wasn't life in none of them. It was only death. It was camouflaged with a little bit of excitement. And the excitement died and we were left with our own dead self. You see, if your spirit is dead, you're trying to latch onto something. That's why there's so many demonized people in church. Did I just say that out loud? Yes, I did. Bugs love light. I'm going to tell you, folks who are dead in their spirit, look, demons want to get inside of you because your spirit's dead. And a demon spirit wants to live inside of a soul. He'll take over your soul. He'll take over your thinking. He'll take over your emotions. He'll take over your decisions. You ever met somebody who cannot make a right choice? Demon. You've invited a devil in. Oh, come on, Terrell. This is 2022. Come on. We're way advanced from that. Yeah, right. Same old devils, different clothes. Matter of fact, we're going by. I think people are wearing mullets again. So, I mean, we'll cycle back around. It's the same. So if your spirit is dead because of sin, I promise you, you're trying to attach to something that looks like it's alive. That's why people go to church. They go to church and they try to attach to all the program and they say, and they just keep attaching to every different thing in the church, but they're not alive. Demonized to the bone. Go check it out. Mark chapter 1, demon. Jesus in the synagogue. First thing he did is cast out a demon in the synagogue. Demonized people love to go to church. They're trying to find something with life in it. To me, this is a very important point, and I'm belaboring it on purpose. If your spirit is dead, you're trying to attach to something with life in it. And many of you have made some serious errors and are attached to something that said it had life, but it was killing you. I grieve right now for the people who are addicted to drugs. I grieve for the people who are addicted in sexual addictions of perversion. I grieve for people who are addicted in alcohol. I grieve for those who have addicted themselves to sport and all kind of other things. And they say, this is life. You can teach a kid baseball for 10 hours a day, but you can't teach them Jesus for 10 hours a day. Oh, that'd be a cult if you did that. Wow. Stay with me. See, we've changed God's glory and demoted God to the level of man. Matter of fact, man is above God. Now we just want God to help us do whatever we want to do. In the book of John, chapter 4, verse 24, it says, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. You see, the fact is, when the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground. And he breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life. See, that's the spirit, the breath of life. That's what came from God. He breathed into you the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This is very important. A living soul. So he made a physical body out of the dust of the ground. He molded man in perfect art form. breathed the breath of God, and man became a living soul. And so we have the breath of God inside of the mind, the emotion, and will of a physical body that all of a sudden comes to life. And the first Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam, which we'll get back to in just a few minutes, is a quickening spirit. That's where we're going with this. You see, I'm just painting the picture out that if you've ceased to reflect the glory of God in your own personal life, you see, the first thing I do in marriage counsel, when I get a couple together, I want to hear about their testimony. How did you come to Christ? I want to know, if we're going to bring in a spiritual union, we have to have two spiritual people. And what we have usually is soulish people. I'm going to get even tougher on this these days. I've talked myself into it, that literally to the idea of just trying to have a soulish marriage, it's going to be, you're expecting your spouse to make you happy or to complete you. Ain't going to ever happen. No human being can be your God. They'll exhaust themselves trying. Many do. This is what goes wrong in marriage. Well, you're not making me happy anymore. I don't love you anymore. Really? What do we say? Jesus said there was one reason for divorce: hardness of heart. Why do we harden our hearts? Because we're living in soulish realm. I look at people all the time. They're in restaurants and they're just looking at their phones. You got a human being right across from you and you won't talk to them. You're staring at a phone. Please help me now. We've reduced ourselves down to a soulish existence because we've ceased to reflect the glory of God. We don't have the life of God in us. We're surrounded by the life of God. His omnipresence and what we would call the common grace is around us, but we have no grace inside of us. You see, you have to find this grace. The Bible says Noah found grace. And look, the Bible's full of promises. Have you found the promise of life in you? See, this is the issue. Let me tell you something. Whenever we fell from grace, when we've sinned, the heart was darkened. The spirit was darkened. It was dark. We couldn't reflect the glory of God. We were left to a soul, mind, emotions, and feeling, and choices. But we have a ticking clock. We're on a deadline. This meat has an expiration date. Let me tell you, friends, God is offering eternal life back to you. He said, I'll give it back to you. Remember when he said, let there be light? In him was life. Who? In Jesus is life. The same word that spoke the world into existence. The same word that upholds the world by the word of his power. This world was created by him and for him. Without him was not anything made that was made. By faith, we understand that the worlds were made by the word of God, and that the things that we see were not made with things which do appear. God didn't take some things and make something. He spoke them from nothing into existence. If you can, you and I can understand the word of this power, putting faith in God's word. God created marriage. Listen to me out there. If you're in a marriage and your spirit is dead, you need life inside of yourself. Your spouse can't give it to you. Only Christ can give you that life. In him is life, and that life is the light of men. When you have the light of Christ's life inside of you, you will once again reflect the glory of God. You'll begin to live. Your heart will begin to beat again, a spiritual beating. An eternal life would enter inside of you. The hope of the promises of God will come alive. There'll be nothing interfering between you and God. Can you imagine? We're trying to reflect the glory and there's a block, but then all of a sudden it's taken away and it's revealed and we can see the light of his glory rushing in. This is the new birth, people. Listen, unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's not about religion. It's amazing to me how many people are religious and are members in good standing, but they've not been born again. I don't care how much religious compliance you have. I don't care if you go to church every day of the week. I don't care if you're the preacher. I don't care who you are. Unless a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When we come to Christ, we see the error of our way. That Selim, we've made ourselves an image. We've made an idol. We've made ourselves into God. We humble ourselves and get off the pride. We come down and we come. I love what Charles Spurgeon said about the Noah's Ark. He said there was only one door. The eagle had to fly down into it and the worm had to crawl up in it. There's only one door and it's called the cross. Jesus said, I am the door. By me, unless we come in some other way, we're a thief and a robber. The church ain't the door. Baptism ain't the door. The cross of Christ is the door. By the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, we humble ourselves and go through that cross. We pass from death to life. We die to the person we were and come alive in Christ Jesus. Oh, go to the cross and die there. Go to the cross till there's nothing left of you. Weep your way through. Help us, Lord. Selim, you've made an image of yourself. Selim, you've made yourself into a God. You think whatever you say is God. Whatever you think is God. Whatever. Well, you think it's all about you. You're the center of the universe as far as you're concerned. Oh, humble yourself. Repent of your imagery. Repent of your idolatry. Come down off your high horse. Humble yourself and go through the cross of Christ. Die there with Christ. And let Him restore His image in you. And once again, reflect the glory of God. If you're ever going to save your marriage. And let me say this. Maybe you're not married. If you're ever going to be fit for marriage. You see, maybe you're getting married just because you want to have something to attach to. Maybe that will give me some life. It won't. You're going to bring your death into that. And you're going to spread death to somebody else. And somewhere in there, people think they're fighting like cats and dogs. Maybe if we had a baby, it'd be better. Are you insane? Yeah, let's bring a kid into this. Why don't we just, wow. Maybe we should get a pet tiger as well. You're crazy. We hate each other. Maybe we should have a baby. What is wrong with folks? You see, marriage ain't going to give you life. If you don't bring the life of Christ into you, all you're going to do is bring death into that union. Wow. God is a spirit. If we're going to worship Him, we must worship Him in spirit and truth. When I start counseling folks, let me tell you, I see, we need two spiritual people. The first vow we make, the first vow, I will be a worshiper of God. I will be careful to display the image of God that was birthed in me through Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. I will be careful to display that image. I will pray for you and with you daily. What a prayer. What a vow. What a first startup foundational vow. I'm going to worship Jesus. I'm going to be a worshiper. I'm going to lead us in prayer. We're going to be together in a prayer union. We're going to build a prayer corporation. You say, well, man, that's a little bit overboard. No, no, no. What's overboard is coming in there. Let's make up some vows. Yeah, we're going to go over to the river. Let's make up our plate. We're going to go to the river. We're going to have a camp at the river. It'd be great. That's a vow. People vow some kind. Let's write our own vows. Let's make them as dumb as we can. We'll get a dog and we're going to have fun. That'd be our dog. The dog will be dead in 7 years. Come on, man. Think outside. Think a little longer. Get a little longevity about it. Please hear me carefully. Vow to something with substance. Vow to things that agree with our created purpose. God needs to restore His image back inside of you. Look, I've got a verse here I've written down. I'm on page 31 in the book. We were winding down here. Chapter 31. Page 31. Excuse me, I'm on page 33. Romans chapter 8 says this. verse 29 through 30. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. Wow. Look at there. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he called. And whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. Wow, that's a mouthful. Be a whole night of preaching. But let me tell you this. We were predestined. The plan of God, the predestined plan of God is that you and I would be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. We would bear his image, the restoration of his image in the earth. For by grace, you have been saved through faith. Faith in what? Through faith in Jesus' blood. Grace is, the cross of Christ is the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has ordained that we should walk in them. Hear me carefully. We have been predestined. The plan of God is predestined that those who would be adopted in Jesus Christ, here's the plan. The predestined plan of God is to adopt you in as sons and daughters and have you conform to his image. We look like him, talk like him, walk like him, think like him, preach like him, live like him, heal like him, pray like him. We'd be like Jesus. Hallelujah. And if we'll cooperate with the plan of God, the predestinated plan of God, you see, everybody wants to put themselves predestined to heaven. That ain't what's predestined. What's predestined is the conforming to his image. So I hear all these people predestined to heaven while they live like pigs. They live and they're wallowing in their sins. They wallow in the mud of their sin. They go back into the mire. They like the dog going back to the vomit. Predestined to heaven. Can't lose it. Nothing I can do to ever lose it. What? You've just totally foregone the entire plan of adoption and the whole process of being in the family of God. And yet you think you have some seal? When you've grieved the Holy Ghost, you've quenched the Holy Ghost, you've darkened your everything, you've trodden the blood underfoot, you've insulted Christ. Lord, help us. Predestined to be conformed to his image. Let me tell you something. If God can predestine you to heaven, why can't he predestine you to make you behave like Jesus in the earth? Because let me tell you this. If you ain't predestined enough to go to be conformed to the image of Christ now, you ain't gonna make it, Jack. Quit deceiving yourself. If there's no power of God to transform you to bear the image of Christ in the earth, why would you even want to go to heaven? If you don't like Jesus, you know he's gonna be there and be the center of attention. If you don't like him now, why do you think you'd like him then? Well, I don't like him. Don't talk to me about Jesus. Oh, okay. All right, we getting this? You see, we originally were created bearing the image of God. We were made in God's image. Sin mars that. Let me tell you something, folks. The wages of sin is death. I'm talking to you people, church-going folks now. I'm talking to church folk, going folks who have a false doctrine who have not been delivered from sin. You need to understand yourself. You need to understand this very carefully. That God wants you to bear his image. And if you're still staying in sin, you're not, that image is darkened. You're not reflecting the glory of God. Don't tell me you're reflecting the glory of God when you cuss like a sailor, drink like a fish, in fornication. Sinning. No, don't talk to me about the, you're saved. Saved from what? I believe the Bible said that Jesus came to save us from our sins. Read it, Matthew 1:21. If you're not saved from sin, you can forget being saved from hell. God wants to restore his image in you. If you're going to ever see marriage is restored to the place where I believe they ought to be, we'll have to get our life back inside of us. Folks, there's so many people that are listening to me that are dead in their sin. You're dead in your trespass and sin. God wants to make you alive. The first Adam was made a living soul. The second Adam is a quickening, a resurrected spirit. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, living inside of me and you. We're not trying to find life. We're trying to live it. Full of the life of God. Life abundant, full of God. Walking with Him in the cool of the day. Well, it's kind of hot, but He makes it cooler. Glory to God. Listen, as I said earlier, I'm going to remind you again, Facebook doesn't like, we don't meet their community standards for talking about biblical marriage. And so they're really oppressing and they won't let us boost these posts. We've been really having a lot of outreach there, reaching a lot of people. Last week, they wouldn't let us boost the post last week from Let There Be Light. So I'm going to ask every one of you who are listening to this, please, just go to Oikos Ministries, click on this after this. Give us a little while. I'll put this on our Facebook page, Oikos Ministries, and you can boost it out there. You can share it, and we'll get more listeners that way. It will be on YouTube and Spotify and all of our podcasts. You can go to our website, www.housechurchesusa.com, and you can listen to all these messages in their entirety. So we bless you. I'm glad you came tonight and listened in. And for those of you who hear us on some of our other media, God bless you. We pray in the best for you. We pray that God would restore life in you and you would once again reflect the image and the glory of God right here in this generation. God bless you. See you next week.
We are so thankful that you joined us for this teaching today. It's our sincere prayer that many of you would be born again through hearing God's word. If you were blessed by this podcast, we would love to hear from you. For more information on Oikos Ministries, visit us on our website, www.housechurchesusa.com.